Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. How is everyone doing on this blessed Tuesday morning? I am so happy to be on here with you guys today. I pray that everyone woke up with a smile on their face this morning and love and peace in their heart. Everyone, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. This is Regina Keenan. I'm Lioness Talks. It's not that easy. I'm just grateful that you all joined in to listen to my broadcast on today. Today, I'm going to be speaking on a very sensitive subject, a topic that it's not talked about a lot, but yet it's going on in the world a lot right now. And as I talk about this, I pray that no one gets offended. You know me. I'm very transparent about on my show, everything that I talk about, some things are very personal and they have hit home. So what I'm going to be talking about today is I'm going to be talking about child sexual abuse and what the Bible says about it and how it affects the child sexual abuse on victims. So I'm going to get started here. The effects of child sexual abuse on victims. It says that for victims, the effects of child sexual abuse can be devastating, and that is so, so true. Victims may feel significant distress and display a wide range of psychological symptoms, both short-term and long-term. Now, this has never happened to me, but as a child of God, I realize that we have to be more alert to children. We have to pay attention to the signs in the kids. You know, they are not going to just come out and talk to us, but God did give us children, us Christians, He did give us a discerning spirit, and we have to stay focused nowadays. We have to pay attention to our youth, as well as, you know, even our younger adults, well, older adult children that are in high school, fresh out of high school. We have to pay attention to them. We have to pay attention to their signs and their actions, because they do display signs when they're going through sexual abuse, when they've been violated. And it's such a sad thing someone to take it upon themselves to think that they can violate our children. I mean, I think that is a low-life person. I'm sorry, I'm just going to keep it real. You know, to feel like you have the right to put your hands on a child in any kind of way, sexual or violent, you know, you don't have a right to put your hands on them and violate them. You take so much away from a child when you take it upon yourself to touch them in the wrong way. You know, with my kids coming up, I taught them, if anyone touches you, I pointed out to them certain parts of their body to be aware of if anyone tried to touch them in those spots. Always tell me. Don't ever feel like you can't come to mommy and tell her, you know, that someone has put their hands on you. Don't ever feel like you can't talk to an adult, you know. And I feel like us being children of God, we have to stress that. And I thought about it this morning, and I'm like, you know, it's very unfortunate that we don't speak about this in the house of God. And I'm just going to keep it real. It's so many things that we don't talk about in church. And I think this is one of the things that we should talk about, even if we hold sessions, you know, have special sessions and talk about child sexual abuse, talk about rape, you know, sexual molestation in children and in our young adults. We have to start opening up and speaking to these children, because they hold this inside for so many years, as you've seen that the people that are coming out about people that have violated them sexually. You know, you got all these celebrities that children are coming out, whether or not children are grown, they're coming out talking about how they've been violated sexually. And it's so sad. It's so, so very sad. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this morning, yes, it has hit home. You know, like I said, I'm going to be very transparent. I believe that things have happened in my life, and God wants me to help the next person, you know. Even though it's traumatic things that has happened in my life or my family's life, I have to be a blessing to someone else by telling my story. That's what I'm doing this morning, guys. I am telling my story. This has hit my household. And when I say my household, I mean this has happened to my granddaughter recently. A couple of weeks ago, I found out that someone did this to her. And it happened 2 years ago. My baby is 10 now, and which means it happened to her when she was 8 years old. And it hurts my heart so much. When I found out, it took me 3 days to get off the chair. You know, I cried 3 days straight, and I had to pray and pray. God, why? Why did this happen to my baby? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. And I'm telling this story because, as hard as it is, I know it's probably someone that's on this phone listening to this broadcast that has experienced this, or a loved one has experienced it, or maybe a friend. Well, it's my granddaughter experienced it, my 10-year-old baby. Yes, she did. And some of you listening may say, I would not get on here and tell that about my grandchild. You know, and I thought about that too, you know, but I don't see it as exposing my business. I see it as being a blessing to God's children. Because it's someone out there that this has happened to. It's someone out there that knows someone it's happened to. And all I ask, guys, is that you pray for me and my family, because we are really going through right now. We are going through, and the saddest part about this is my son, which is my father, is incarcerated. And he can't be here for his baby. That's why it hurts so bad, you know. I had to end up filing for custody, and I got a letter from him yesterday. And he just found out, which I wanted to be the one to tell him. And that's why I'm so passionate about sharing my stories, because, you know, there's a lot of the children that this has happened to and it's happening to, one of their parents is not in their lives. So they don't have that other parent to go to and cry on their shoulder and say, Mommy or Daddy, this is what happened to me under the care of Mommy or under the care of Daddy, you know. And I want this to help someone. That's why I'm sharing this. That's why I'm sharing this story with you this morning. And, you know, just to give you a little bit more about, you know, how it affects children, if they say that they may feel powerless, ashamed, distrustful of others. And that's why I say us as children of God, we have to pay attention to the signs, and not saying that they walk around with a sign on their forehead saying, I've been molested, please help me. That's not the case. But we have to dig a little bit deeper as Christians and open up something in our churches and something in our communities where it gives these children a safe haven. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A safe haven. They need that. They need somewhere to go to talk to someone, to feel like they have a safe covering where they can go and talk to us and let us know what's going on. Because, of course, they're going to be afraid to talk to their parents. My granddaughter was afraid to tell her mom because the guy, well, I'm going to put it out there. He was her mom's boyfriend, and he told her, you better not tell nobody. I know that sounds familiar because that's what we hear when people are on TV and they're telling their stories. The first thing they say is, my abuser said, I better not tell nobody. That's like saying, you better not tell nobody. You better take this to your grave. You know what I'm saying? You better not tell nobody but Jesus. You know, but if our children don't know how to pray, that's another thing. They're young. My baby was 8. She is filled with the Holy Spirit, but this little girl has been anointed from the womb. She has been laying hands on the family, you know. She used to lay hands on her grandmother and pray for her. Someone told me, a spiritual advisor told me, said your granddaughter is going to be the one to get everyone saved in her household. But unfortunately, her grandmother passed away, and then her grandfather passed away. So she wasn't able to, you know, but she did have a great effect on their lives before they left this earth. But if we, you know, we can't just say, hi, baby, how you doing, and give kids a hug. You know, we got to sometimes sit down and talk to that child because they're holding that pain. Like, this child has carried this for 2 years, two long years. And every time I think about it, it hurts me to the core that I wasn't able to help her when this happened to her. But I saw the signs, and it's always been my worst nightmare. I'm going to keep it real. I've always feared that this would happen to her because of her mother's lifestyle. So we got to be there for our children. We have to be there. We have to let them know, I'm here for you. You can talk to me. I promise I will be there. I will comfort you. But what we cannot say to them is, I'll hold this in confidence. Because when we hold it in confidence, that confidentiality thing that we speak about, some things you just can't hold in confidence. We have to tell someone because someone has to help these kids. They really do. And that's what I did. And I thank God that I was able to start the process. You know, like I said, y'all, please pray for me and my family because this is hard. This is very hard. But I'm getting through the grace of God and through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you some scriptures that can help. It says, what does the Bible say about sexual abuse against children? Caring for children is spoken very highly in the Bible. For example, in James 1:27, it says that caring for children in need pleases God. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and wisdom in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, we have the Holy Spirit. I'm sure we all feel with the Holy Spirit. And like I said, we do have discernment. But if we're not close to children, if we don't spend time with children, we're not going to know that they are scarred, you know, from being abused. We're not going to know that they're scarred from maybe being physically abused by someone in their home. Our children go through physical, emotional, spiritual abuse. And this goes way back from before time. You know, like when we were kids, our parents or our grandparents used to say, when something like this would happen in the family, you better not tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. Keep this a secret. And as I thought about this, I'm like, why? Why would you hold this And this is, I mean, I will let you know, this is part one. It's going to be a part two because I'm not going to have enough time to cover everything I want to cover. But why would you want to hold something like this? Because this affects that child throughout their lives. This is something that they have to go through for the rest of their lives. And that's the saddest part is our kids have to carry this burden. Yes, it's a burden on their shoulders. Like, this child has carried this burden for 2 years. Can you imagine how hard that is? I saw the withdrawal from the family, the withdrawal from her little cousin, which is my grandson. They, and those two are so close, they're like brother and sister. But she withdrew from him. She would come over, and she would literally make herself go to sleep. And I knew something was wrong, and I asked the question, but she didn't feel as though she could say anything because she was told, don't tell nobody. Even her mother said, don't tell nobody. Her mother kept her from me for 3 months straight. And when she finally came over, all I saw was signs that something was wrong, but I never thought it was this. And that's the thing. We have to dig deeper. When we see signs that are going on with our children, with our grandchildren, with our family, for friends, for children in the church, we got to dig deeper. We got to sit down and talk to these kids and find out what's going on. You know, take them into that safe haven that I was talking about. We have to have a safe haven for our children to let them know that there is somewhere that you can go to. There is someone to talk to. It's someone there for you. And that's what I had to let my granddaughter know. I'm there for you, babe. I'm mad as this. I was so mad and angry, but I had to call on God and say, Lord, why? I said, but help me get through this anger. Yes, there was things I wanted to do to this man. Yes, there was things I wanted to do to her mother, but that's not my calling. I don't have a right to judge anybody. So I said, Lord, you judge them accordingly because I don't have that right. As much as I want to, as much as I want to literally lay hands on them, I don't have a right to do that because that's not my position. That's not what you call me to do. What you call me to do is to be there for this child. You call me to protect her, to be a covering for her. And that's what we are, family and friends. We are covering for these children. We have a safe haven inside of us, as well as we need to put one together. When I say put one together, I mean we need to put together a organization or some type of ministry. Call it safe haven. I don't care what you call it. But just have it where children can come and talk and feel comfortable. You know, for the little kids, put some toys in there. You know, because this is what I'm going to do. Because like I said, I know as much as this hurts, I know that God is he has something for me to do through going through this pain, this horrific pain of my granddaughter being molested at 8 years old. Now I have to stand in the gap for other children. I have to be an advocate for them. I feel it's my duty now. It's my calling to stand in the gap for these babies that have gone through this, that their parents don't even know. These people that are doing this to these children have to be taken off the street, but they can't if we don't know, and they can't if we harbor it. And when I say when we harbor it, when they say, don't tell nobody, you better tell somebody, because if you don't tell somebody, your child is going to grow up carrying this burden in their heart. It's scarring them for their lifetime. This is a scar that those children are carrying, and we can't keep putting Band-Aids on it. We cannot keep putting Band-Aids on these scars. It's not right, because then we're not protecting those children. This is religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And that's what I'm talking about. This world is polluted so bad, but we have to be there for our children. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And again, that was Ephesians 6:4. Psalms 127:3 calls children a heritage from the Lord. And they are. We have inherited these children, and it's our duty as a child of God to protect them, to cover them, to make them feel like they have someone to go to and talk to. We are their protectors. As I say, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. Am I my sister's keeper? Yes, I am. Am I those children's keeper? Yes, I am. And I will protect them. I will be there for them. It don't just have to be my grandchildren or my children. And speaking of my children, I'll take it back to, I'll say last year, I was, me and my daughter, and this is crazy, Holy Spirit. Me and my daughter was visiting my son at the prison. And out of the blue, my daughter blurted out, I was touched by this guy. And I told him, if you touch me again, I'm going to tell. It never happened to her again, but I guess she felt like, she felt afraid because she, this happened to her when she was like probably 9, almost the same age as my granddaughter. Yes, my God. And I had not realized that until right now. Oh, Holy Spirit, all right. But this is the thing, family, and I will call y'all family because everyone listening, I consider you family. We have to be there for these children. We have to care for them. Do I know, did I know what to do when my daughter said that? I didn't. And I asked her, I said, now, because my heart just fell in my shoes. I said, baby, what do you want me to do with this? You're now 23 years old. What do you want me to do with this? This was a person that I cared about. You know, he was, I'm not even going to say who he was, but he was a friend, a very close friend of the family. I'm like, what do you want me to do with this information? Because it's been so long, she said, nothing, Mom, but I just wanted you and my brother to know. But it never happened again. So you see how this happens to our babies, and they're afraid to tell anyone because they feel like, number one, we're not going to believe them. Again, it goes, it dates all the way back to the beginning, our ancestors, when it happened in the family. You better not tell nobody. Keep it a secret. One, nobody's going to believe you anyway, or the mothers that they told and they said, you're lying. Stop lying. That man didn't touch you, or that woman didn't touch you. We got to stop telling these kids that they're lying. They're not lying because the child is not going to come out of the blue and say that somebody touched them. Are we these children's keeper? Yes, we are. We are children of God, and we have to cover and protect these babies. This is what the Lord said we got to do. Jesus interactions with children, notably in Matthew 18, demonstrates the value God places on them. The Bible speaks often about caring for the weak, the poor, and needy, and this would include at-risk children. You have Proverbs 14:31. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to give you the scriptures. Proverbs 14:31. 17:5. 19:17. 31:8-9. Again, that's Proverbs 14:31. You can read these later on. Proverbs 14:31. Proverbs 17:5. Proverbs 19:17. Proverbs 31:8-9. Followers of Christ are consistently called to love others. Molesting a child can in no way be mistaken for love. It's not love. The Bible also speaks strongly against sexual sin. Sex is a gift given by God meant for marriage, not for taking a child's virginity, not for taking and destroying a child's self-esteem. Sexual perversion of all kinds is soundly condemned. Sexually assaulting a child is never justifiable. It is always wrong. I don't care what nobody tells you. If you're on this call and you're listening to my voice, if this has happened to you, tell someone. It's never too late. It's never too late. As we grow up, and it's never happened to me, but when you grow up as a child, you carry this burden all your life. It's hard. It affects you in every way. It affects how you grow up. It affects you when you become an adult, when a man tries to come into your life. And I look at it also in a negative way. It could cause a child to want to become sexually active, promiscuous. You know, the mom's boyfriend is there, and they want to come out with little shorts on or come out with their T-shirt and their panties on. That's what being sexually assaulted can do to you. How do I know? The Holy Spirit has given me this, God. I didn't look it up. I give it to the Holy Spirit because I did not have plans to say, but this is something that can cause so many damaging things to a child. She can grow up, become a stripper. You know what I'm saying? She can become a prostitute. This can affect, and this is the reason we have to talk to these kids, because these kids have to get counseling. I have to put my granddaughter in counseling now. Yes, the Holy Spirit is in me, and I can talk to her, comfort her, and love her, but there's some things that I'm not qualified to do. I can counsel her in grandma's way. I can counsel her Nana's way, but professionally, my child has to go see counseling to professionally get her through this, even though I'm going to cover her through the Bible, through the scriptures, through the word that God has given me in the Holy Spirit. I can do my part, but I also got to get her help, because if I don't get her help and just brush this under the rug like her mother did, it's not going to help her. Those things that I named, prostitution, stripper, you know, promiscuous, curious, it can lead to pornography, looking up pornography, because what happened can it piques their curiosity, and that's sad. It's so sad. But please, guys, hear my word. Please talk to your children. Talk to the children in the church. Talk to the children in your neighborhood. If it happened to you, I'm praying for you, because I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know how to go through this by myself. That's why I said, please pray for me and my family, because it's going to be a long, hard road. I have to now mentally try to fix this baby, and I need help, because it takes a village to raise a child, and I'm not afraid to cry out for help, and I'm asking for help. Please help by praying, just praying for us. I know you can't do anything physically. Just pray for us. Pray for my strength in the Lord that I'm able to guide this baby to help her get through this, because she needs a village. You know what I'm saying? She needs that village to help her, and I need that village to help me help her. I will be back on in 2 weeks, and like I said, this is only part one, because there's so many areas to cover when it comes to child molestation. I'll be back on June the 4th with part two. I think it's June the 4th. And I'm going to talk and get more into depth on that call. I will have phone numbers, hotlines that I can give you guys if someone is going through it and they need help. They need help. And we are the one to help them. We are the ones. I can give you this resource. It's a recommended resource. It's called The Wounded Heart, Hope for Adult Victims of Childhood Sexual Abuse. And that's by David Allender, and that's Allender. Look up scriptures, you know, the ones that I gave you, and just dig deep and research on how to help children that's getting through this. Like I said, start an organization, start a ministry at your church. And it's ministry, the ministry don't have to be in the church. Ministry is in you. But guys, I thank God for blessing me to be on here with you guys. I'm sorry to in a sense bring you bad news about what happened to my baby, but I know I'm supposed to help to bless other people out there. That's what I'm doing. It's being transparent. It condemns me. I'm sorry, but I do what thus saith the Lord. And I believe that I'm here to help. Like I said, I am my brother's keeper, my sister's keeper, and I am the children's keeper. God bless you all. I love you so much. I thank you for being on here, listening to me today, and I pray that God will bless you, be prosperous in Jesus' name. I love you. Goodbye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Morning. It's Tuesday morning, which means you're right on time, as with your success in mind, hits the airwaves. This is your host, Cheryl Cormier from Houston, Texas. Our program is made possible because of two truly remarkable ladies. Show producer, Kayla Padgett, CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. And Josie Hopkins, CEO and founder of Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World. It's a blessing to be a part of their vision to reach and empower God's people. We can be heard all around the world, and I want to thank you for tuning in to share this special journey with me. As I seek inspiration for each program, it blesses me to know that our words and conversations are having an impact. I say a special prayer that everyone in our listening audience and the families you represent continues to be blessed and enriched through with your success in mind. As we're each called to serve God in our own way, I hope you have been reviewing our notes of our last program with the 5 steps for strengthening our commitment and confidence as we renounce fear and embrace faith. Step 1 was request, seek God's wisdom, and ask that His will be done. Step 2, relax, give it to God, and wait on His instruction. Step 3, receive. Listen for God's instruction and be open to change. Step 4, respond. Obey whatever He commands. And step 5, rejoice. Have faith, be committed, and rejoice in His greatness. Today we're in for a real treat with our very special guest, Lady Anita L. Barnes. When you think busy, I want you to multiply it times 100, and you might come close to understanding how busy this anointed singer and lady of God is. She dedicates her time not only to her local church, but on the state and national levels as well. She's also an active member of the state and national Ministers' Wives and Ministers' Widows Association. And she's a talented entrepreneur, leader, and empowerment producer. I met Lady Anita through business, but she has become a dear friend and a mentor. She has an angelic voice and is the first lady of Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church in historic Eatonville, Florida, which is the oldest black-owned and operated township in the United States. Having just recently returned from their annual global mission trip to South Africa, I invited her to talk about that ministry and what it has taken to sustain it for now 21 glorious years. We will also talk about the beautiful children that they provide educational support each year and how you can be a part of making a donation with the certainty that 100% of every dollar given goes directly to the children. Lady Anita has an extensive bio, and I would encourage you to visit her website to learn more about her and her various programs. Go to AnitaLBarnes.com. So good morning, Lady Anita. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Ms. Cheryl Comer. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Thank you so much. I can't tell you, since I initially was asked to host this radio program, you were one of the very first people that I thought of and wanted to make sure that we had as a special guest on the call. So I am honored and blessed, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. You ready to get into it?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Well, tell me more. You know, one of the things I've been impressed with it over the years that I've known you, you've talked about the church's global mission trip to South Africa, and I'm really excited to be able to share with our listening audience today, to have you share, rather, more about that. How did the mission and that journey come about?
Well, actually, in 1997, we were introduced to a group of ladies from South Africa, from Haringhoa, South Africa, teachers. And they were visiting in the U.S., and they actually stopped by our church for our annual Christmas concert. And they were so taken with so many people of color in one place praising the Lord, and we were taken ourselves to have them with us straight from the motherland. And as I was saying, it was our annual Christmas concert at the church that night, and we had a fellowship with them later, and we enjoyed that immensely, some of the ladies. But later, the following years, the Dr. Dudes, who had invited them to the U.S., extended an invitation for others to travel with them to this area, to Haringhoa, South Africa. They were going with Lucid Technologies to teach and to train them from donations that were given through them. And they opened the door, Dr. Dudes opened the doors for a whosoever would come and go, and let's just go share. So we had an American team and a South African team, and we went through workshops on what to expect. And there, as I stated, there were 57 persons of various professions from the U.S. And amongst that group of 57 to 59, our church sponsored five persons, and I was among the group that went to South Africa for that year for 10 days. To share with them our experiences, because they watched the Western world on everything. And apartheid had just ended. And so they wanted us to come over to them with them and share with them how we as African Americans were able to be successful after slavery period ended for us. And now that apartheid had ended for them, they wanted us to come over and have a touch with them and share with them how they could move forward after apartheid.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. And, you know, I'm sure that that has had a great impact with them. But at some point, I know that the children became the focal point for your ongoing visits to South Africa. How did that come about? And, you know, what is it about the children that just melted your heart? And I know the heart of your husband, the Reverend Willie C. Barnes. How did that come about?
Well, as I stated initially, the invitation was extended from a counselor to share on professions, the various professions. And when we arrived, we as a church worked with the churches. Well, they asked us, one of the ladies in our group, Evangelist Mary, was so
excited, and she talked about Macedonia so much that they were excited. And when we got returned home, she told my husband, Pastor, we just have to go back, because she says, I've talked about Macedonia so much. You've got to go back and talk with the people and see the people of Macedonia. And so we went back as a group. There were seven of us. We went back. And our mission at that time, we were asked, because they were impressed with the fact that our church had such an active involvement with children in the schools. And so they wanted us to come back and share with their churches how you can get the churches involved into the school system, because of the things that they were now experiencing, you know, the AIDS, and as well as with the young girls and the boys, the things that they were beginning to experience, because, again, they're watching the Western world. So they wanted us to come back and share with the churches how the churches could work with the schools. But when we returned, my husband was so taken with the schools, with the children in the schools, as to what could we do in addition to working with the churches and working with the pastors. He formed a group where we went in on a particular day, and he sat with the pastors and talked with the pastors and shared with some of the things that they could implement in to come alongside the schools. But he was so taken with the children and the needs of the children that when we returned the next time, it was, we need to do something for the children. Coming out of apartheid, they still were under a regime where British rule and Dutch rule, where they paid tuition to go to school from elementary to secondary to high school. And they also needed uniforms in order to go to school. And we noticed that, you know, some of the kids didn't have shoes on. Some of the kids did have tattered clothing. And during the season that we went, it was cold. And but this was still expected of them in order for them to be able to continue their education. And so he was touched by that. And we were touched by that as a group. What could we do? And we went back to the church and decided that this is what we would do to help. We would come back and we would, with the teacher's aid in selecting the student, select a student from your schools, from elementary to high school, which is about, at that time, 34 schools, where a student was selected. Now, can you imagine selecting a student from the poorest of the poor? We had no way of knowing how to make the selection, so we left it entirely to them. But the amazing thing from that was a couple from our church who were also, the husband was a part of our initial visit, they decided to personally match what we were doing, what the church did. And so we were able, we began sponsoring two kids from each school based on the teacher's selection. And because we noticed that not only were they, that child was in need of shoes, also and the uniform and as well as the tuition for the year, it's quite possible that they were not eating at home as well. So what we did for that recipient was we provided a voucher for them to go to the local grocer to make a purchase there. So for each student, we provided a voucher for shoes, a voucher for the uniform, a voucher for tuition, and this is all for the year. And then to the family, we provided a voucher for them to go to the local grocery. Family that aided us, that has come alongside of us every year, and that's what we have been doing.
Wow, that is amazing. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but it's just astounding when you can see a need and really be able to put a program in place, be able to meet that need in order to provide for, let's say, for one child and to be able to support them in those areas that you've talked about. What's the typical donation that would assist you in being able to provide for one child for one year?
For one child, I want to say this, as a result of what we had done, have been doing for 20 years, We've met with the Education Department of South Africa, and they said, as a result of what we have been doing for all of those years, some of the schools, they have eliminated the fee. And it's only out of our last visit, out of 30 schools, only 6 of them still had fees. So on an average, the rand of what is called now their dollar is 14 to our 1. For $30, a pair of shoes can be purchased, a uniform, and possibly to the school that has to pay the fee and the voucher, that can, for one year, pay for the voucher for shoes, uniform, as well as school fees and the donation to the family towards food.
That is absolutely amazing. So when we think about a donation, and particularly here in the United States, we might not think that $30 can go very far, but that $30 will cover a student, one child, for a full year in all of those areas. And I think that that's why it's so important and why I really wanted to have you on the program, so people could really understand the significant impact that they can make and have, you know, just by donating $30. And I love, and I mentioned it in your intro, that you all have been able to maintain the mission and the vision for your trips there and your efforts there. And you make sure that 100%, did I get that right, 100% of every dollar that's donated goes directly to the children?
Every dollar goes directly to the children. We go in to Harancourt, and we go to the store for the uniform that provides the uniform and the shoes for the vouchers. We have, as part of our mission and giving out of the abundance, we have designated, we have budgeted that certain amount that is done every year for the children. And as I say, we do have persons that have come alongside us and have asked what could they do and have sponsored a children. And so every penny that is given goes straight to our mission. Right now we've gone to Haiti as well, but annually this has been our mission to South Africa with the team that's there.
And so if someone wants to donate, if you're listening and you're inspired by what you're hearing, I just want to give Lady Anita's web address where you can go there, click on Giving Back, and you'll be able to read more about their global mission trips, and you'll have an opportunity to be able to donate as well. Go to AnitaLBarnes.com. That's Anita L as in Larry Barnes.com, or I guess I should have said your middle name rather than Larry. I just thought about that. But yes, please, we invite everybody to go and to donate and become a part of this, just this powerful, long-standing mission that has helped so many people. And I know it's been 21 years, and certainly some of the children that you all started off helping that were part of recipient of your efforts 20 years ago or 15 years ago, now they're most likely adults. Do you keep in touch with any of them, and how are they doing? Have you seen the long-term impact of what you've been able to give?
As a matter of fact, we have one in particular. We talked about it on our last visit to go back and see how many of the students can be located and what they're doing now. We did have the opportunity that one of the students visited us, and this year when we were there, he talked about how impressed he had been. And even though he was not a recipient, just for the fact that we had come and out of what we had done for others, it inspired and encouraged him to pull himself up and change his life. And he was in a better place because of what we had done for others. But one young lady in particular that stole our hearts when she was in the fifth grade, 11 years old, and she was not one of the recipients, but we were speaking with her, and she shared with us her vision about wanting to be a nurse, wanting to help people. And my husband said, you know, we're going to do something. We're going to sponsor her through school. And so every year, we would make sure that she had a uniform, that she had shoes, and that her tuition was paid every year, and the voucher to her parents, to her family. Because we found out in adding the vouchers, we found in one case the family held on to the voucher for 3 months just so they would have something to have for Christmas. Because we've gone at different intervals of the year. We've gone in January and June, but we found out the best time to go. But this one young lady that we helped, she went through college. She graduated a law student, and her name is Daisy. And so we wanted to make sure there was a disconnection there for a couple of years. And through Facebook, she and I found each other. And now that she has graduated and paying off her fees, we're making sure those are paid because she cannot get her certificate until all of her fees are paid off. She will be coming to visit us here in the United States. And so we will be able to share our story. I've shared it on social media, but everyone will be able to see the work that has been done through the church, through Macedonia, the scholarship, we call it the scholarship that has made this possible. And so we are so excited. Every time we go over, she makes herself available. She just turned 25 on last month, a beautiful young lady, so full of wisdom and vision. So we're looking forward to her visit here to our home this summer. So we're excited about that one. And in the meantime, we have sat down with our team in South Africa to go back and let's see how many of the students that we can locate and what are they doing now. And so you can imagine, after 20 years, there are hundreds of them. There are hundreds of students excited that Daisy is coming to America.
Well, thank God for Facebook, right?
Yes, yes. I tell people, if you use social media correctly, it can be a wonderful thing. I remember myself, I'm from a very large family on my mother's and my father's side, and I've been able to connect hundreds of them together, as well as me locating them myself. So using social media correctly, yes, it can do great, grand, and wonderful things.
As you were talking, I could just envision, your program of being able to really showcase and show, where the students are now and the impact that you've had. You know, a lot of people start programs and with great energy, with great commitment, with great enthusiasm, a lot of participation. But 20 years, that's a long time for any program to kind of last and to be sustained. What is it that you have done or that you feel has made the difference for Macedonia's commitment to this program?
I will say the ministry's ability to be able to adhere to this for so long has to do with the Word of God that dictates the Great Commission for us to go out into the uttermost parts of the world. And the enthusiasm that's garnered during the time of our preparation, I just can't tell you what it's like when we talk with a South African team as they begin to make plans to receive us, because they have to go to the government, they have to make sure proper documentation is in place, they have to do all of those things for us to go into their country. And Dr. Groopboom, who initiated this invitation 21 years ago, she was a counselor in the school system. And over the years of our relationship, she has now earned her doctor's degree partly in the United States, and through the relationship that we established with some of the families here that have been supported her, that have helped to bring her in when she was over in the United States. So she attained her doctorate through this, and that has opened doors for her She works at now at the University of South Africa, and where she continues to push on the South Africa side this mission of helping their children. And so that gives us the inertia on this side that as we continue to set aside the time and the funds to go every year, just the fact of knowing that we are connecting. One of the young ladies, mothers, on our first visit there, I'll never forget her. Back in 1998, we went to a visit. They had prepared meals for us, for the 57 of us. It was just so wonderful going back then, touching the ground of South Africa, touching Mother Earth, which keeps pulling me every time I, you know, get ready to go back. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm so excited. I'm going home. And I tell everybody, listen, for vacation, everybody wants to go to the islands. We want to go on cruises. We want to go places. I said, if we would just go home before we leave this side of heaven. And that pushes me to go every year. But Madame Poule Foule said to me, she said, God allowed you to be taken from this place and to go over there. And can you imagine, as she's speaking with her hand, her finger, she's drawing in the air a half circle. God allowed you to be taken over there to those waters where you learn. And now as she continues with her finger, as she makes a complete circle, and she said, so now you've come back home to share with us those things that you've learned to help us. She said, now the circle is complete.
Oh, my word, my word.
And absolutely, that alone, I can't even explain this, it's been etched in my heart that I have to go. That's what we're supposed to do. That's my assignment. You know, to out of the lack that we have, out of the abundance that we have, to help others. I know people say, yes, over here in the U.S., we have the same thing, and we're working on all of that as well. But for her to say, now the circle is complete, you've come home. Thank you for coming home and sharing with us and giving back to us. And with tears in my eyes, I want to say that that is one of the things that drives me and keeps me going, is that it was ordained by God. That's our assignment. It's part of the Great Commission of Matthew 28 and 19 through 20, to go into the uttermost parts of the world and make disciples. And so we do that for the children, as well as blessing our relationship that we've established every time we go home. That's why I say when we go home. Looking forward to going home every year.
Wow. Well, that is a very powerful ministry with very powerful and wonderful results. And the impact that you're having is just so inspirational. And so I want to thank you, Anita, for being on today. Thank you for what you have shared. I'm sure it has inspired all of us to do more, to give more, to pray more for everyone in need around the world. Everyone deserves a life where all of their basic needs are met, and they have access to education, health care, and opportunity. You have demonstrated that when you pair a compelling purpose and a clear perspective with prayer and persistence, you can accomplish great things. I applaud you and the Congregation of Macedonia for the impact you've had in the lives of hundreds of kids and their families throughout the years. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We certainly would love to have you back on the program. As a matter of fact,
would love to.
We want to be the first. I know you have some phenomenal programs coming. We want to be among the first to hear about them, okay?
Yes. And I want to say, can I say this? I want to say to the audience that is listening, whatever your donation is, every penny will be used, whether it's smaller or larger. We appreciate whatever is given, every contribution that will be given. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anita. Well, everybody, last weekend we set aside the day in many countries to celebrate mothers, grandmothers, aunts, godmothers, and nurturing women around the world. With enormous hearts of compassion, like today's guest, Lady Anita, mothers graciously and lovingly pour into the children of the world without need for permission or applause. But soon we'll be turning our attention to celebrate the strong, protective, wise fathers who are powerful role models for our children. They teach our sons valuable lessons for developing into the men that their communities and future wives need, and the loving, amazing fathers their future children will deserve. And of course, there's nothing like a father to teach their daughters that they can accomplish their every dream, and through example, show these future queens how a man is supposed to respect, adore, and cherish his lady. So as the kids say, let's keep that same energy and prepare to show our fathers the love and appreciation they deserve as well. That's about all of our time for today, everybody. We're signing off to the musical stylings of saxophonist Tom Braxton. The song is Tuesday Morning from the album Next Chapter. You can learn more about his complete body of work on tombraxton.com or follow him on Facebook at Tom Braxton Music. Be sure to mark your calendar and plan to tune in for our upcoming shows. And you know, the more the merrier, so feel free to invite your friends as well. After great feedback, I'm committed to continue to work hard to introduce you to one great guest after another. So I truly hope you will join us on our next program, June 4th. Once again, I'm thankful for our guest today, Lady Anita L. Barnes, for sharing information about the Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church global mission trip to South Africa. I hope you've been inspired to pay it forward and to support the mission efforts at your church and in your community. Not only do these ministries and programs need financial donations, but many times they need volunteers and organizers as well. Just do what you can do, and remember that no contribution is insignificant. For more information about upcoming guests, to join the conversation or visit CherylACormier.com. We're here every other Tuesday to share and receive words of encouragement, empowerment, inspiration, pearls of wisdom, and tools to help you through your journey for spiritual, physical, and entrepreneurial success. This has been your host, Cheryl Cormier. Remember that everything shared and everything offered is done explicitly with your success in mind.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.